So this is the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for November 16th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. So BlizzCon was really fun. It was a whole weekend ago. I meant to do a show the following Monday. Hey, guess what? When you go out of town, that makes your schedule crazy. And you get home and you realize, oh no, I got a final draft of the book to get to the publisher this week. And oh no, I got these 30 other things that I left laying around. And oh no, I have 500 emails. So I don't want to make a bunch of excuses, but let me just say, kind of a rough weekend and week. But I'm back, and BlizzCon was great. It was fast. It came and went like a flash in the night. Kind of crazy, man, how quick it went. And that's fine. That meant we were having fun and we were getting work done, man. That's what I did mostly this year. Was I felt like I worked a lot. Ran a couple of panels 2 days in a row. That was crazy. Saw a lot of friends. Didn't play a single video game. That's right. Brand new hero stuff, brand new Overwatch stuff, brand new everything stuff. And I didn't play any of it until I got home, which is the nice thing about BlizzCon this year. As soon as you got home, Blizzard had like five things for you to do. They had a new expansion in Hearthstone. They had a new expansion for StarCraft 2. They had brand new content for the Overwatch beta, which I'm in. And they had new hero stuff to play. So kind of great all around that way. That was a nice thing to come home to. But while I was there, no time at all. Nice buffet in the press area, though. I'll give those guys that. Anyway, I've missed you guys. I've missed you bad. How bad have I missed you? So bad that I'm ready to do this right now. Let's get into the news. Let's talk about Fallout 4 for a second. Fallout 4, out. And available since Tuesday, right? Has it been that long? Almost a week. So I really like it. And I liked 3 and I really liked New Vegas, but I really like 4. And I don't know why it's ringing my bells a little harder than the last two games. And I've, you know, whatever. Bethesda games, their style of game is always something I'm interested in. Even the goofy open world problems you have in their games. But I guess and it feels like Fallout, but I guess I didn't expect to be so drawn in by some of the systems that I usually hate in these games. Like, I usually don't like crafting in either Fallout or Skyrim / Elder Scrolls. But, man, I really like crafting in Fallout 4. And modding guns and weapons and cooking and all that stuff. They've just, I don't know if they've made it simpler or more sensible or just, I don't know. But that stuff feels good to me. I spent almost 3 hours clearing out a grocery store for no quest. There was nothing in there for me to do on the story. There was no, you know, reason to go in there outside of it was full of ghouls and junk and stuff that I wanted to go get. Actually, if I'm being honest, I was looking for a ceramic because I need to finish this radio tower thing. And so I went in there to find me some ceramic. And I ended up not finding any, which is funny. But I spent like 3 hours clearing this thing out, having a blast, exploring everything, finding a bunch of money and gear and stuff that I wanted. And realized I didn't get a single quest objective accomplished in here. I just spent 3 hours just dinking around in an old Walmart-looking place. And I didn't feel bad about it. I felt great about it. And I love that. So I'm probably like, I don't know, I could tell you real quick here. I am how many hours into it? I am. Oh, come on, Scott. Here we go. Recent Fallout 4. I am 8.5 hours into the game is all. So haven't had a ton of time to play, but enough to know that I really like it. And I'm not having any technical issues. I'm playing it on PC. I haven't noticed any weird slowdown. I haven't had any problems at all. I know the console players have mentioned some issues with frame rate. And then some have said, well, it's barely a next-generation game. It looks like you could have maybe done this on last-gen hardware. While I don't actually agree, I know what they're saying. I mean, it is a Fallout-ass Fallout game. And it feels like it. There's uncanny valley faces. Some of the dialogue and the voice acting stuff's a little stiff. You know, whatever. the landscape is barren and nasty, but I think that's part of the charm of the thing. And back when I was playing Fallout 3, I had save errors, I had crashed to desktop errors constantly. Not one problem so far here. Quick saving all the time. It's a difficult game. They don't hold your hand. They don't tutorialize everything, which is kind of a, on the one hand, kind of sucks if you're new to the series, but also kind of great if you miss that old kind of PC style RPG where you don't, you have to kind of figure things out on your own. There's a lot of that going on. I really like it. And I think it looks great. I think it sounds great. The location's growing on me. I was a big fan of New Vegas because I love deserts and barren wasteland type stuff. I wasn't sure how I'd like sort of New England with trees and things. But as it turns out, when nukes go off, they tend to wipe everything out to make it sort of like a big desert anyway. So it's totally working for me. It's fine. The voice acting's kind of terrible, although the main guy, the character I'm playing, I played a male. I didn't choose the lady. And he sounds great. I think he's doing a fine job. I think the music's great. I think the radio stations are good, although limited on how many total songs they have, which is unfortunate, but that's always true. And they kind of play it up. The DJ guy's like, he's keep asking for more songs. I only have like 10, so here's this song, whatever. And like they play up the fact that they don't have licenses for, you know, a million 50s era songs, which is fine. It's good. I like to be able to break up the stuff. But the actual soundtrack in the game is super strong too, so there's options there. And of course, I'm only seeing the one station because I'm in the first main area there. With potentially hundreds of hours of gameplay, there's plenty more for me to find. Oh, what else? Story seems really strong so far. Maybe the best in the series. It's more cohesive, less just sort of bland. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's something going on with me that's more meaningful than 3 in New Vegas. I talked about crafting. That stuff's way better. Yeah, it's good. I think it's really good. So that's my take. And I know a lot of people like it. It's averaging like 95% on Metacritic. Fans seem to love it. Critics love it. It's, you know, it'd be pretty easy to say game of the year for this one, for a lot of people. I don't know where I'm at yet. I'm working on that. And I'm going to involve you guys, by the way, in some voting. I'll get to that later. But yeah, Fallout 4, still a threat. It's really good. And y'all should be playing it. Let's also talk about Legacy of the Void. Also came out, StarCraft II, the final chapter in the three-piece thing. It's hard to believe that 2010 was when the first game was released, and a couple years before that, they announced at a BlizzCon that they were going to break it up into three games instead of one big, sprawling RTS campaign. And they have done that. They have delivered on that. And I'm only 3 or 4 missions in, but I really like it. I always have. I love those campaigns. I'm not great at the game outside of the campaigns, so don't expect me to rank up any ladders or anything crazy. But it is fun, and I played a little co-op with John Jagger on the NVIDIA stream. That was fun. Funner than I expected, or more fun than I expected, because funner is not a word. Anyway, the sort of over-the-top, self-serious story always works for me. Some people don't like that. I love it. Artanis is an amazing hero. Yeah, what he's up to is cool. The Protoss are rad. What else can I say? It seems a little harder than last time, than Heart of the Swarm. I don't know. Maybe that's just, it's been a while, maybe. But the missions seem a little tougher. There's a little more base building than there was in the last one. The last one felt like, all right, here's an RTS with tons of base building and strategy for the multiplayer. But here in the single player, we're just going to kind of let you do some cool stuff, and you're going to control smaller groups of units and mainly this hero character and Kerrigan and things like that. And this one, you feel like you got to build up that base, yo. You got to get some turtling going on. You got to get some gas. Got to get some Vespeen, yo. Got to put it right in your arms, right in your veins, son. Scissorp. Anyway, it's really good. And you should play it because it's worth it. And you get that free hero in Heroes of the Storm, which is Artanis, and he's a badass. Overwatch beta. Let's talk about that. Look at all these mini reviews I'm giving you. It's a little different today, isn't it? So the Overwatch beta happened. We know that, right? And I've been on it, and it's fantastic. I think that game is utterly fantastic, and I cannot wait for full release so I can play with all my friends. They put out a bunch of changes, including adding three new characters, Genji, Diva, and then who's the other lady? Mei. They're now in the game. There are 21 characters total, which will be the launch release character total. And as you all are aware, the game is, you know, got a full retail release. It's $39 for the basic package. You can get some fancy stuff with skins and things for $59, and then you want to go crazy and get the collector's edition, you can do that too. Anyway, that's all old news. I don't want to focus on that. But D.Va's awesome. She's really great. I at first did not want to drive or walk around in a big pink mech shooting green bullets and talking like my least favorite anime character. That was not interesting to me at first. But once you get your hands on that character, she's a tank primarily. Wow, she's really, really fun and really interesting to play. And her mechanic where she tosses the mech out in front of her and leaves and lets it explode is massive. Just destroys everybody in the area. I think the only downside of that is, and maybe they'll fix this later, but she's artificially getting play of the game almost every time, because if you pull one of those off and take out five guys, you kind of just, you're just on the list to get play of the game. I've only ever gotten play of the game once in the game, and it's funny how badly you want to have play of the game. It feels really good when it's you. At least the one time it happened to me, it felt really good. So anyway, it's great. Genji's good once you get to know him. He's hard and he's difficult like his brother. I forgot his brother's name. Who's the arrow guy? I can't remember his name. Anyway, Genji's like a ninja. He's got a sword. He throws stars. He is a ranged character. He's not melee, but he has some cool melee stuff he does for his ultimate and for a block. And very hard to learn, but once you do, he's pretty deadly. He was making me dead a lot in the game. Mei is goofy. I mean, she's this like little, basically a little kid in a coat with like a little robot helper. And then she has a little ice gun and she does ice stuff. But once you play her, holy freaking crap. The thing she does, man, puts up giant ice walls, which you can shoot through, but they're hard to, and it really messes up your flow if you're playing against her. Very effective as a defensive player. Buys a lot of time for the team, and a good player is really good at freezing people and then killing them, and she's great. She's awesome. Hollywood also is a map they added called Hollywood. It's sort of a reimagining of a futuristic area around Hollywood. There's like film sets and green screens and an old west set out behind a back lot and warehouses, and it's great. Look, they don't make garbage over there, and if shooters aren't your thing, you know, maybe this will never be your thing, but if you like shooters at all and like team strategy in the least bit, man, Overwatch is freaking good, dude. All right, some actual news. Star Wars video games get their own TV show this weekend. This weekend? Or did that already happen? Oh, you know what? It aired on Saturday, November 14th, so it's done. I didn't realize it was this last weekend. Well, I missed it. I hope it was all right. They called it, what was it called? It was called Star Wars, A New Gaming Era. And they were going to tease highlights of Disney Infinity, Battlefront, and Old Republic's latest expansion, which I'm hearing really good things about, by the way. I might be tempted to get in. I might have to think about it. Anyway, I don't know how it went. Did you guys see it? Did it go okay? Did you enjoy it? Was it fun? Did you hate it? Did you wish you weren't listening to me talk about it now in retrospect as if I'm a time traveler? The first three Steam machines were released, priced and specs and all that. Did you know that? Yeah, that is something coming this fall, or is already here, I suppose. So these are these PC console hybrids. Computers that you attach to your television, play Steam in big picture mode, and they are from Alienware, Cyber, and Zotac, or is it Zotic? It might be Zotic. Anyway, they all come with Valve's new game controller, so that's part of it, and it starts at $450 in North America, €450 in the UK, or pounds, I guess, in the UK, and certain high-end configurations are available at three times that price. Ooh. So here's an example. This one, the Nen Steam Machine by Zotac or Zotic, however you say it, ships for $800. Ooh. And it bundles together, basically it's a Core i5-6400T, 4 gig of RAM, terabyte of storage. Comes with a GTX 960 from NVIDIA. So there's your example. It's pretty inexpensive for a pretty nicely spec'd quote-unquote PC. Although if you're really a hardcore PC player, you're probably going to do what I'm doing, which is keep up a really nice gaming rig and then stream to like the Steam Link, which also works with the controller and, you know, stream stuff from your PC. And it depends on your network and stuff. But even on Wi-Fi, that thing's working really well. So anyway, absolutely worth checking out. And grats to everybody who's getting Steam machines, I suppose, on the market. Fallout 4 surpassed GTA 5's record for most concurrent players on Steam. For a couple days there, it looked like they were just going to be in second place. But nope, it happened. So there's been an update to the story as well since I last wrote this in here. Grand Theft Auto, I guess in April, had 300,000 concurrent players, which is, that's kind of insane, right? So it even, I guess, later in the year got up to 360. That's where it peaked. Fallout 4, as of this recording, is now the top game on all of Steam in terms of concurrent players of all time. That includes Dota. That includes all the Valve games. That's everything. I think they may have a successful launch of Fallout 4. I mean, don't quote me on this, but I'm guessing they'll do just fine. That's just that platform too. Who knows on consoles? Interesting though, right? I find that whole thing fascinating, that a game that big and complex is so mainstream now. Maybe we've just evolved and gotten to a place where a lot more people, broader range of age groups or interest groups, are into RPGs at this level. Because this is not, you know, this isn't like some action game with RPG elements. This is very RPG. This is like a hardcore business, I think. So, good sign, I think, for us. Twitch's Bob Ross Marathon was a huge hit. Did you guys watch any of that? The best part of it was people would say GG at the end of an episode. Or good luck, have fun, before one started. Anyway, it went so well with that marathon, they're going to do a weekly show. So that run that they did there was 400 episodes. 400 freaking episodes of that stuff, back to back. And 5.6 million people tuned in to the week-long broadcast. So they have decided that because they were able to reach 183,000 concurrent users at the peak, that was significant. And that seems like something they'd want to do. So Monday nights are going to be Bob Ross night, said Twitch in a statement. This started on Monday. And we'll run one season of The Joy of Painting, which originally aired on PBS, right there in the 80s, maybe early 90s. You guys remember when that aired? I do. 3 p.m. Pacific Data Time, or let's see, it ends at 9:30. So 3 p.m. to 9:30. And they do it every Monday. So if you didn't get enough Bob Ross, I got some news for you. Nintendo Direct happened. Now, it has been a while. I meant to do a show earlier so that we could talk about it when it was a little fresher out of the oven, but I still think this stuff's important to talk about. Seems significant. Mother 3 coming to Wii U Virtual Console, but in Japan only right now. Once again, Mother 3 never coming here, seems like. And I don't think that's changed since this announcement, but anyway, that's coming. So if you're into that and you're in Japan, or you have a version of the console that you smuggled /bought from Japan and now have it here and would like to have content from Japan on, you can get Mother 3. Hyrule Warriors Legends for 3DS is coming, and it includes a female Link. Now hold on to your butts. This is something I really don't like at all, but I'm going to tell you the story. I'm going to tell you that it exists, and then I'm never going to talk about it again. The female Link character is called Linkle. Yeah, you heard me. Linkle. Sorry, my computer does that every time I say something dumb. So I could say, I don't know, I have magic powers. Say it's not true. Automatic response. If I say, you know, eating vegetables is good for you. Oh, see? So that's an affirmative response. But if I say the name Linkle, it's going to do it every time. Linkle. Oh my gosh, Linkle. All right. I hate that name so bad. Dragon Quest VII and Dragon Quest VIII coming to 3DS in North America next year. Final Fantasy VII's Cloud is coming to Super Smash Brothers. Not bros. Mario and Luigi Paper Jam hits Nintendo 3DS January 22nd. I wish that was sooner. I really want that game. Big fan of the Paper Mario and the Mario Luigi games, and the fact that they're kind of combining that stuff is, I'm very jazzed about that. Star Fox Zero coming to Wii U April 2016. That's in the States as well, that date. Maybe that's worldwide. Super Mario Maker is getting a web-based course search in December, so you can search for courses via the web. I don't know if that means just on the console. I assume it means on anything that can get on the internet. Zelda Wii U is coming in 2016 and has amiibo functionality. Also, they announced the least exciting thing I have heard. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD coming to Wii U in 2016. Why? What for? It's the least good Zelda game ever made. It's everyone regrets that game. It wasn't good on the Wii or the GameCube. Even though they reversed, one was left hand, one was right hand. Remember how they reversed them? The whole world got mirrored. I can't remember why. Was it because of the remote and the nunchuck or something? But are you guys really... Who's buying that? Here, let's test the computer. Is Twilight Princess HD going to be good? Oh, okay. Well, then there's your answer. And then finally, this is just a rumor, but it looks to be credible that all Nintendo mobile games currently in development are free-to-play only. There is no premium games to buy from Nintendo for the foreseeable future with their new mobile games they're making for mobile phones. So if you're hoping for like a $30 Mario adventure, not going to happen. You might get some Mario thing that's free to play, but it's all free to play, baby. All free to play all the time. Did we expect anything else? I don't think I did. Hey guys, guess what? It's time for your phone calls. What do you think about that? How's that sound to you? It would help if I had those phone calls out and ready for me to click on. Why don't I? What has happened here? I know what to do. I found it. Here it is. How about this one?
Hey, Scott. Chris from Goose Creek, South Carolina, calling in. It is that dreaded time of the year where we buy holiday gifts, and I'm trying to figure out which console I should buy for my girlfriend. She likes to play PS4 exclusives such as Uncharted, but also likes to play games with me, and I'm on the Xbox One. I'm trying to figure out which one I should buy her, which would be better for her. If you could leave me some input on that, that'd be awesome. And keep up the show. Boop.
Well, I'm going to say get her an Xbox if that's what you're on, because that's where you will play together. It is a problem that if she really likes what Sony's putting out first party wise or just other things Sony's doing with the PS4, which seems to be the trend, that kind of poses a little bit of a problem. But if the entire goal of this is to get you and her playing together, y'all should get the same platform, whatever that platform is. And in this case, if you've already got the Xbox and you're invested in it and she is currently console-less and you're looking to do that, I'd say both get Xboxes. You won't get Uncharted there, but you'll get a lot of cool stuff. That new Tomb Raider is real good from everything I've heard. So, yeah, that's what I'd do. You do anything less than that and you're smoking the crack. I shouldn't say you're smoking the crack. It's not very nice. You're not smoking the crack. You're doing it wrong or something.
This is Mark from Chicago. I had a question about the closing bumper. There seem to be two versions. Is there a specific reason for that, like one having significance over the other for a different show, or could you just not decide between them and decide to do both? Kind of wondering why you made that decision, wanted to know what your thought process was. Anyway, well, the show, though.
I actually have three of them. I don't know why I stuttered there at the end. I thought he was done. I have three. I have this one. Boop, 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 boop. See, this is kind of cool. The show is part. Okay, so that's one of them, right? Here's this one. The show is part. This is basically that without the 8-bit stuff, right? And then you got this other one here. Hold on. Wait a minute. Why can't I find it? Here we go. How about this one? So you check this one out. This show is part, and then I use that one for like the WoW show and the Warcraft stuff, and the, you know, the Blizzard things. So I just like it for variety. That's all. That's really it. For reals. That's all I care about. Let's just make it interesting.
Hey, Scott, Bloodrate 120 here, calling for the Boop Show. Congrats on your 100th episode. Also, get straight to it. I play Destiny on both systems, Xbox One and PS4. Number one reason I would think is because think of it as World of Warcraft switching servers, and you have your friends on another server, and you're playing the same content, but you're just on a different console in this case. And it's unfortunate that you do have to pay a little extra, but I think it's worth it. And also, I'm a content provider on YouTube and Twitch, so you don't want to split your audience in that sense, because people keep asking, are you playing Xbox One or PS4? So that's about it. All right. Thanks for the call, and boop-de-boop-boop-boop.
Makes perfect sense, especially if you're really invested in Destiny and you want to maximize who you're playing with and that you can play with them all. Why not? I mean, here's a good example. I'm planning on getting Overwatch for PC and for PlayStation 4. Why? Because something fun to play in the living room, something fun to play on the PC. I'm so excited about that game in general that it makes sense for me to make that kind of investment. It's not really that big of an investment. Not really. And also the kids can play that while I'm playing mine or whatever. I know we can't play together, but we're, you know, playing in those two ecosystems on a regular basis. So I totally get it. That makes perfect sense to me. And I think that, you know, if I was ever out of reasons to, or if I was ever at a lack of a reason to play two consoles, a great reason would be I want to be with my friends. Listen, here's what I know. I want to be with my friends. Going to do it for the show, everybody. Thank you for being here. Frogpants.com/boop is the website. Boopshow@gmail.com. Leave us voicemails like the ones you've been hearing today at 801-471-0462. You can find the show on Twitter at Boop Show. You can find me at Scott Johnson. You can find great music like the stuff we use on the show from the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. You can find it on iTunes. Music for a 1950s video game. Support this and other shows on the network at frogpants.com. No, sorry, patreon.com/frogpants. Losing my mind here. Patreon.com/frogpants. Thank you to those who are helping. And if you have not yet considered it, please do. You can also support the show by buying stuff on the store, frogpants.com/store. And our subreddit is frogpants.reddit.com. That's going to do it for me. I'll be back with another Boop Show sooner than you think. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you then. Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.